Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Black Conservative Talk Radio, where we're always right, never left. We put God first and politics second. I'm your host, Chauncey Brown. Welcome to the show. Tonight, we're honored and proud to have in the studio a mother, a political activist, and vice president of the Frederick Douglass Foundation in North Carolina. Valerie Johnson is an extraordinary woman with extraordinary organizational talents and a will to right the wrongs that is transpiring in our country today. We are not only proud, but we are blessed to have her in the studio. Without any further ado, let me welcome into the studio Ms. Valerie Johnson. Good evening, ma'am. How are you?
Well, hello, Chauncey. I am doing well. Thank you so much for having me. I am honored myself.
Thank you so much, Valerie. Talk a little bit about your background and talk a little bit about how you got involved in politics and how you became the vice president of the FDF Foundation of North Carolina.
Okay, well, I'll definitely give you the short version. I always start off by saying I wish someone would have said to me it was easier to get into politics as opposed to it is to get out. So
well said.
Well, you know, I love what I do. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead. We're good.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, I love what I do. I'm very passionate. I started, in the church, in the health ministry. I had recently moved here from Charlotte. I'm originally from the Midwest. I moved to the South in 1993, and I was relocating to the Durham area. I came here kind of kicking and screaming. I became a Republican, I want to say when I was 25 years old. I'm not going to say how old I am now, but it's been a couple decades.
Valerie, and this is your show, but be nice, Valerie. Don't start with me.
You know
I guess my audience can
you.
Tell. Yes, and I guess my audience can tell already that, yes, Valerie and I are very good friends. But I'll let you continue, Valerie. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, and so the church that I attended in Charlotte, which was about 95% black pastor, and we had a large membership, close to 5,000 members, and he was a staunch Republican conservative. You would think that being a man of God. And
amen.
But we would always get information during election time. He wouldn't tell us who to vote for, but he sure made, sure that we knew what they stood for. And sometimes the candidates who were good friends with him would come. So anyway, long story short, I began to say, let me take a second look at this, because usually you hear most blacks when they find out you're conservative Republican, they'll say, well, how did that happen? Because it's just a stigma or a stereotype, if you will, that all blacks are going to be Democrats. And that's pretty much what I was told by my grandmother. We vote Democrats. Democrats are for blacks. I kind of looked at the platform as anyone else who's doing research and said, wait, I don't agree with that. That doesn't line up with my biblical beliefs and standards and morals. So, yeah, it wasn't a difficult decision at all. I immediately became a registered Republican. And from there, began to educate myself on history and, the importance of how I voted every year. I wasn't active in the Charlotte area. I think that was kind of my preparation and education time. And then I moved here in Durham to the Raleigh-Durham area and just was surprised because I thought, oh, okay, I'm at a new church. They think the same way I think, and that was to the contrary. So I kind of struggled a little bit, got the side eye from people when I mentioned around election time, you know, I was going to vote for the local Republican or the Republican president. And, of course, my pastor agreed, but, you know, I got a lot of grief from minorities in my church. There was a few that stood, but, you know. So anyway, received a letter from the Durham GOP about, hey, did you know there was 1,000 registered Republicans in your area come to this meeting? So from there, once I attended that meeting, connected with some folks, met a mentor, not less than a year, I ended up working for Governor McCrory, Pat McCrory, and his administration mm-hmm. for 3 years. And, you know, I worked as a boards and commissions administrator, met a lot of people across the state, got involved with local races, you know. Chauncey, if you've been involved, if you're a volunteer, you do something for free in the political arena, you always gonna have a job.
So true.
Yeah.
So true.
Yeah.
You know, I like what you stated, that it's easy to get involved in politics and it's hard to get out of. I'm somewhat different. My father was early Republican and a community and civil rights activist in the 60s. So I was already born and surrounded by Republicans and understand the values that the party had brought. You know, the interesting thing about my dad, though, is that in the late 1960s, early 1970s, you know, I might have been like a little boy, like 9 or 10 years old, and my dad is talking to me. And this is how progressive, if you will, and I'm not progressive as far as thought progressive, not progressive as far as like we see today, the left and the right. My father said, Chauncey, black people's issues are the same. And he said, even though I'm a Republican, we need our people on both sides of the aisle if we really want to solve our issues. And that was very, very interesting 40, 50 years ago, him saying that, because if we look at the political landscape today, the establishment Democrats and Republicans, which are predominantly white, play that game at the top of the ticket. We saw that with Donald Trump. And what happened was black people's voices were not heard to a certain extent. But it's just ironic the insight that my dad had at that time to foresee that politics affected us no matter what party that we were in, but we needed people on both sides of the aisle that we can converse with to solve our problems. And we still have that problem today from the Democrats' identity politics, divide and conquer, character assassination, everything that Martin Luther King did not stand for, the Democrats and the left is doing today. I'll let you interject, Valerie. Go ahead.
Well, no, I hear that discussion all the time. Well, I tell you right now, as it stands, I would be on the right side, of course, because being a Democrat,
amen.
I could not.
Amen.
Yeah, it's too divisive. They don't represent certain people, if you will, and they have this misconception that they have your best interest at heart, but that doesn't always seem to be the case. It seems like power is their ultimate goal in getting what they want and convincing others to kind of jump on their bandwagon or do their dirty work, if you will. And I'll go as far as saying that, you know, I have some friends who've been in D.C. for decades, and one interesting thing he said that I just never forgot, and it kind of stuck in my brain, was the Democrat Party has always been this way. He said, you're just seeing the underbelly of what really goes on in the party. It's just been flipped, and they have no what's the right word to say no fear or no, there's no more hiding. They're just out in plain sight and don't care. almost verbatim that conversation went. Yeah.
And right now, you know, unfortunately, they own their message and they're proud of it. The identity politics, you know, sexual orientation. We can go down the list. And the thing is that as Republicans and conservatives in the party, we're not fighting back against this nonsense. We're allowing their message to continue, even with them having big tech and the media on their side. We're not fighting against this narrative. You and I are in the trenches, but the top part of the party is not fighting against this nonsense. And that's the sad part. And the Republican Party has a rich history of supporting and helping African Americans. As a matter of fact, they're the only party that have put policies in place to advance not only black people but all Americans. And the Democratic Party that says that we're for the people, I say to you, look at every major city in the United States for the past 70, 80 years have been controlled by Democrats. How do you blame Republicans for your failed mismanagement and corruption on the municipal level? That is ironic to me. It's the Republicans' fault. It's the Republicans' fault. And it's sad. Now they call us racist. Well, I'm not a racist. I'm a black Republican Jew, you know, but they debunk all of that narrative. And that's why I said we have to fight back against the narrative, even though, you know, we have everything against us as far as the media, big tech, silencing our voices on social media. You know, as a matter of fact, about a half hour ago, I put up a post on Facebook. You denounce free thought and free speech. You censor us. But you allow prostitutes to promote themselves on this platform. I says, how many times do I have to report this? So, you know, we right now are in a spiritual warfare in this country, in this world today. As you know, you're of deep faith, you know, and the moral fiber of this country has been stretched to the limit. It's going to come to the point, you know, do you stand with God or do you stand with Satan? Satan is of division. Satan is of identity politics. Satan is of all of these things that are promulgated by the left, because there is no basis and substance for growth in any of the things that they're talking about. It's to keep people bamboozled. It's to keep people in their emotions. And it's not to help grow and build families and communities throughout this country.
Yeah, I mean, you and I, we can be here all night. I mean, these conversations get very redundant. And to go back to what you said about, you know, career Democrat politicians in these inner cities, and all you see is downward spiral over the years. And you have generations of families who live in these communities. And I just say, hey, look, I don't even have to sit here when I'm kind of debating someone online or having these conversations, you know, with the Frederick Douglass Foundation, whether we're, you know, having panel discussions, you know, at our forums or whatever event that, you know, we're putting on. It's like, hey, do your own homework. Start where you live. Start in your own neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Has anything changed? Has your schools got better? Have you had economic or workforce development in your community? You know, do the math. It's just very, very simple. And it's like there's such blinders on and indoctrination to where there's no even self-reliance or self-responsibility to say, hey, we need to start holding these people accountable. And we've seen it during the Trump administration where you have people, I'll use Baltimore for example, of all the garbage and the rat infestation, and they were, you know, silencing some of the people who actually came out and agreed with what the Republicans were saying. And then they had a crew, because I post on my LinkedIn, that came out and did and cleaned up the whole neighborhood. And it was Republicans who did it. But even if you you have a community project that stands for Republicans, and this happened to me when I was the chair of the Black Republican Committee of Durham, the first ever launched Black Conservative Committee in the NCGOP. And we would go in. I did a back-to-school drive every year. We did a turkey drive. We were going to have a, you know, job fair. I mean, we came up with all these different outreach engagement programs. And still, we were able to move that needle by 40% on the voter registration when we checked. But for the most part, you know, when we would go back into some of those same communities, these people were still embedded and, you know, holding a candle to the Democratic Party. And it's just shocking. And I think, you know, a lot of them know some of the women that I've worked with at the polls, you know, at an HBCU. I won't throw out the name, but they said, Valerie, these women are, you know, in their 60s, retired. They're like, we know the history of the Republican Party, but we don't want to sell out our race. They literally said that. And I'm just sitting here like, but you care. You supposedly care about the plight of your community. You know this is wrong. You know they're not doing anything to make these, opportunity, not a handout, these opportunities that you say are supposed to be equality, but they're not doing it, and you're okay with that because you don't want to be a sellout, but you call us sellouts? It's just funny when you sit here and think about it, but this has just been decades of, you know, the same old rhetoric every election cycle. You know, they come in, oh, we're going to do this and we're going to do that, and it's all their fault why you have the problems, even though I've been the city council or the your state or federal congressman for years. But it's okay. It's their fault. I can't imagine anyone who would accept that.
Well, we could look at a lot of the people that continue to vote tuning in. This is Black Conservative Talk Radio. We're always right, never left. We put God first and politics second. I'm your host, Chauncey Brown, and we're honored and blessed to have in the studio other activists and vice president of the Frederick Douglass Foundation of North Carolina, Valerie Johnson, in the studio talking about Black issues and politics in America today. The last half of the show, Valor, if we can, we touched on so many issues, and a lot of the stuff, as you said, is repetitive. Talk about your role as vice president of the Frederick Douglass Foundation, and then talk about the goals of the organization.
Sure, absolutely. Well, first of all, Frederick Douglass Foundation has been around for more than a decade. We are public policy Christian organization, and I stress, you know, we are all active Christians, conservative. We bring sanctity of the free market and limited government ideas. We support, you know, policies that are, you know, that stem from our biblical beliefs. We go into churches. We work with the faith-based community. We have the Douglass Leadership Institute that has an initiative called the Turning the Tide, where we do work with a lot of pastors, and we go in and we teach them about public policy and how their vote and what they're voting on, what these policies mean, because a lot of people don't research it until after the fact. And we train them the proselytization and how they get involved. We vet candidates to run for, you know, local municipalities and the importance of having that conservative voice on the school board and city council and county commissioner. You know, they say all politics are local. Hey, look at some of the squad who got to Congress. They started somewhere locally and got that support and built up, and now they're serving in our U.S. Congress. So those are the type of just some of the things that we do. Dean Nelson, who's one of the co-founders of FDF, he is the executive director for the Human Coalition. And we work on definitely pro-life issues, human trafficking issues with Alveda King and a woman called Catherine Davis and her organization. She was very instrumental, her and Alveda King and Reverend Dean Nelson, of getting the ban on abortion in Georgia. We also worked with Jack Phillips, I believe his name, the baker in Colorado who was sued by the gay couple because he didn't make their wedding cake. And, of course, they're going after him again. But we were also involved in lobbying and getting, you know, the victory for him that first go around. Yeah, and now Kevin McGarry, I think you posted his, you know, he's going around doing seminars on the critical race theory. So we stay very, very relevant with the issues that are hot topic or hot buttons. And you know, as today, topics is what I should say. I was more of boots on the ground, grassroots, when Clarence and I relaunched the chapter in 2017. And now that we have field directors, we have two that go out and do more of the grassroots work, which has given Clarence and myself a well-deserved break. But, you know, him being in his 70s, he's not slowing down one bit. He's always, you know, doing something. His schedule's been very busy. He recently testified before Congress on the Oklahoma massacre. You know, he was recognized by Trump twice during Black History Month and at the Independence Day address, which was a phenomenal event. I think that's when he got the TV recognition, and we got so much publicity from that and speaking engagements and appearances, endorsements. And so my role, to answer your question, is more of on the administrative side, but I do still do speaking engagements and support, you know, candidates and work on and advise. I'm more so in an advisory role for campaign.
Thank you so much for your service to America, our communities. Thank you for standing up for what's right, Valerie. Not what's popular, not what's emotionally expedient. It takes courage to stand up for your moral values, what you believe in. And as you talked about earlier today, we don't understand how some people just don't get it. They keep voting for the same people expecting different results. The results are disastrous. As you talked about earlier, the Democrats have decimated murders over again. And she says, the mayor, oh, crime is down. You know, when are people going to stop believing in this nonsense? Innocent people are getting pulled out of their cars and shot and killed. I mean, when are we all going to come together and realize that every life matters? Our children of God. And our children are graduating who can't even read and write. This is beyond my comprehension. We're not teaching critical thinking skills in school. We want to talk about racism. We want to talk about how bad white people are. I mean, really? How is that going to help our children compete in society? How is that going to help them to become successful? How is that going to help them compete in a global environment? Not kids, like I said, graduating who can't read, write, don't know math. It's sad. It really is sad in our country today. And, you know, I want to say thank you again for fighting and standing up. We need more people like you to debunk the left narrative. You know, their communities are failing in distress, and they're still trying to blame Republicans. It is sad, the nonsense that they are promoting, but we have to continue fighting back. If people would like to volunteer to the Frederick Douglass Foundation out of North Carolina or even donate, can you please share that information with our audience?
Chauncey, and you're welcome. And yes, and listen, I've just begun to fight, okay? and meeting people like you and, you know, others that I've met on LinkedIn and on the different social media sites, my mentors that have been with me over the years, who continue to push me and encouraging one another, You know, I see some of the Republicans in Congress that are starting to fight back, and I'm happy to see that they're not sort of sitting by doing nothing. We just got to push harder. We got to make those phone calls. We got to do that grassroots work. It's extremely important. Now, if people want to get involved with Frederick Douglass Foundation, they can easily go to our website, which is fdfnc.org. There is a volunteer button that you can click on and fill out a form. One of our field directors will get in touch with you. Or, if you got people who are not in North Carolina, we do have other chapters around the country. And it should be listed there. If not, just, you know, specify your area of interest. We can use you. I'll say it like Clarence says it, the civil rights icon. He says, we'll take your time, your talents, and your treasure.
Sister Valerie, unfortunately, we're out of time. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to appear on our show, and I hope that you will come back on again because your voice is so desperately needed. Thank you so much, and God bless you and your family for all that you're doing. Really, really appreciate
thank you.
What you
thank you, Chauncey. Thank you for having me. I think I did, yeah.
Okay. Now, sometimes since we're doing internet radio, there is a lag and a break. But I have to close out the show now. I have less than a minute to do that. Thank you so much again. But we will have you back on. Okay, Valerie, thank you so much. God bless you again, and I'll see you on LinkedIn.
Okay, take care. Bye.
All of those tuning in today to Black Conservative Talk Radio, we were honored and blessed to have in the studio Valerie Johnson, Vice President of the Frederick Douglass Foundation of North Carolina. You can follow Black Conservative Talk on Facebook and also on LinkedIn. Please stand by. We're trying to get, again, on our show next week, Mr. McCary, who's also the Frederick Douglass Foundation president in California, to come on our show next week. So we're going to reach out to him. So please check back and for updates and on Black Conservative Talk, and I'm your host, Chauncey Brown. If you want to follow me, you can follow me on Twitter at NY Talk Radio Host. That's New York Talk Radio Host, or I'm also on Facebook at Right Talk Radio Host. We want to thank all of our listeners for tuning in. We want to thank you for your support. God bless you. Be safe. And as always, keep the faith.
We got a good flow together.
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of like, if it's only like 30 minutes to an hour, I don't want to.
This is.